Well, guess what? I have a wonderful, encouraging, difficult passage of scripture for us today. As you know, we are going through 1 Peter, and not last week, we had Elisha St. James. How many enjoyed Elisha St. James last week? Wasn't that so good? What an encouraging word and testimony, and appreciated him. We have one of the best bands and musicians in Blount County, and I believe in Tennessee. These guys are amazing. You know what? And, you know, even ESJ was talking about how he really enjoyed working with them, and I'm just thankful for all of you guys. But the week before, we were in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 6, and this week we're in chapter 3, verse 7. And we'll marinate in verse 7 today, and hopefully I'll be able to leave with all limbs intact. Let me give you this in context, though, as previously helping us understand that from the beginning, say from the beginning, from the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Amen. And then we see in chapter 2 where he made a sleep fall over Adam. He took a rib from Adam's side. He created the woman, called her woe man. Been that way ever since. But this is what it says in verse 24 of chapter 2. It says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Say, one flesh. One flesh. So we take this scripture in the context of the whole, and we realize that we are following God, not man. We're following God, not culture, not society. Following God's plan. The first thing that jumps out of me, let me go ahead and read this scripture. It says, likewise, say likewise. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Amen. So the first thing that jumps out to me is that Peter says six times more things to wives than husbands. I want you to understand, it is a matter of inspiration and not inequality. Because we can see in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, that Paul devoted much of the words that he gave to the husbands and less towards the wives. Regardless of the weight or gravity of the text, and however we want to measure that, it is not measured by the content or the context, not the number of word count. It is measured by the fact that God is speaking to all of us. All of us. Amen? Paul and Peter had different agendas. Paul wrote to Christian couples. Paul was writing to help Christians understand how to walk in unity with each other. However, Peter is exhorting Christians to live with hope in a hostile opposition may come from civil authorities. We know that, right? We see hostility coming from sometimes workplaces, sometimes even within our family context. When we go to our family gatherings, we can't talk about certain things because it creates hostility. Sometimes. So the counsel in verses 1 through 6 of 1 Peter chapter 3 was specifically for believing wives married to unbelieving husbands. You have to remember, we talked about the fact that the faith of the husband, the faith of the father, was generally the faith of the household. How many understand when Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? He was declaring that he was the head of his home. And as for him, everyone in his home would follow the Lord, right? So in the culture of the context, a wife followed her husband's religion. It was rare to see a husband having a wife that didn't believe in the same God that he had. So I believe that 1 Peter chapter 3, 7 assumes that the addressed husband has a believing wife. All right. So, for the sake of time, Peter says less to husbands than he does to wives in this passage. He teaches in this whole part, he teaches citizens and he says nothing to governors. He teaches servants and says nothing to masters. Once again, unlike the Apostle Paul, Paul was teaching Christians how to operate with other Christians in the various contexts of life that they would have. But once again, Peter was teaching something different. But after instructing wives to submit to their own husbands, Peter clarifies that submission does not mean husbands should treat their wives as if they are property or anything less than valuable, right? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says, "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God." The Lord has designed the family so that the husband is the head of the wife. The Lord who designed male headship defines male headship. So we have to look at this context of Scripture. How should male headship be practiced? And I believe that 1 Peter chapter 3 clarifies that or gives us that definition. God commands Christian husbands to live with their wives in love. Say love. Love. Amen. Why did Peter omit children? In other words, you see where Paul had dealt with parents, dealt with children. Peter seems to omit that. Well, really, Peter didn't omit that, because if Peter's following the leading of the Holy Spirit, this is God-breathed word to us, then it's not something of an omission. I believe what Peter is saying to husbands is exactly for children as well. Children should be raised in a home where a husband loves his wife. I'm hoping to hear a few more amens from these women today, too. Amen. The word love is not used in this particular passage. I believe that it gives a beautiful picture of what it looks like for a man to love his wife. And I want us to look at a few ways, all right? So, number one, if you're writing your notes, number one would be know your wife. Amen. It starts off with likewise. I had you repeat that a few moments ago. Likewise. So in other words, it's just defining how a wife should submit to her husband. And then it says, likewise, men. That means, I believe it reflects a lot on Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, where it says that we should submit to one another, right? I guess it would be 21. 21. Wives submit to one another. So, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. So, in other words, the very first part of this calls for a collaboration, a marital collaboration. It's a marital working together, a marital cohabitation. You should live with your wife. I would hope so. Right? Genesis 2 and 24, as I read a few moments ago, says the husband should leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, right? And the two shall become one flesh. In other words, leave and cleave. Husbands, if you're still sitting at your mama's table as the mama's boy, then you are not following God's word. Quit comparing your mama's cornbread to your wife's cornbread. Amen. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to roll up my legs. I'm getting deep in here. All right. Marriage establishes a new family household, right? A husband's relationship with his wife is the most important human relationship that you can have, right? I mean, the Word of God tells us he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Come on, right? It is the most important human relationship that you can have, finding a wife. Praise God. Cleave to your wife in a covenant relationship, in a covenant companionship. When you say covenant, covenant has responsibility. Covenant has consequences. It's not some legal form that you sign in front of a judge that is easily broken. It is a covenant before God Himself that says, I will submit to my husband, wife, for as long as I live, until death do us part. Right? It's not something we enter into flagrantly or flippantly. We enter into that covenant under the guise of a covenant God who's made a covenant with us, who died on the cross so that we could have a way of life eternal. That same God has established this type of relationship for us to walk in. Know your wife. A husband is to live with his wife as a housemate, as a roommate, as a bedmate, not a bed bug. I remember we have examples of roommates right here. These were college roommates right here on the front row, right? And so therefore, they were good examples of roommates. Some were messy, we won't say who. Some were clean, we won't say who. Some were, you know, anyway. Some were the roach stompers and some were not. Roommate. I had a roommate in college. My first roommate was super messy. Drove me crazy. You know what the crazy thing is that when I was growing up, I was the youngest of 7 by 7 years. And so by the time I was, you know, old enough to mess up my room, my mom didn't have a bunch of rooms to clean up. So literally I'd leave my room to go get ready for school. And by the time I got back, the bed was made. And I precious. The clothes were picked up. Wasn't I spoiled? But then I went to college. Nobody to wash the clothes. Nobody to pick it up. I still have trouble with that making bed thing. Like, why? Am I gonna get right back in it? Like, deal with that. Come on, right? Amen. I got a few amens on that. Some of you, I got some scowls too. Anyway. But something happened to me when I went to college. It transformed. I didn't like clothes on the floor. I didn't like the room to be dirty. But I had a roommate that did. So, not only was he a bad roommate to me, but I was a bad roommate to him. Because then I put expectations on him that he did not have. And so, therefore, I wasn't the best roommate. Are you a good roommate? If I was to survey your spouse after service, would they declare you as a good roommate? Man, it's getting, I mean, I didn't even hear any amens. I mean, this isn't like no amens. It's intense in here this morning. Let me move on, all right? When it talks about this idea of living with your wife, it's not just sharing the address. It's not just eating meals together. It's not just dividing up the bills or the responsibility. It is an intimate relationship that you live physically and sexually with the one that God has apportioned for you to live with for the rest of your life. Amen. You should know your wife physically. And that's not just in the context of sexuality. It's also in the context of knowing her physical needs. Amen. I'll keep on preaching, Pastor. Keep on. Homemaker. So oftentimes we put that term on the wife. She's the homemaker. But ultimately, it takes two to make a home. Amen. Right? It takes two to work together. Some of you guys who are not married yet and have an idea, y'all listen up. You know, I'm thankful that I had the privilege to have four wonderful kids, young people, young men, and one beautiful young lady. But I had the privilege, guess what? Guess what I got to do? I actually got to change their diapers. It amazes me of how many men, I never changed a diaper in my life. I'm sorry. You missed out on a privilege of helping raise your child. I mean, wasn't it wonderful to be able to take off that nasty shirt when it projectile vomited all over your shoulder while you were burping your child? Wasn't it wonderful? Experiences that I will never forget. Seriously, though. It takes two. It takes two to bring that child into the world. It takes two to raise that child. Amen? And it doesn't stop when they get to be a certain age, or it doesn't begin when they start a certain age. It is a continual process of loving, caring, and compassionately helping them when your daughter at 1:30 in the morning brings airplane for their future honeymoon and says, Daddy, I need your help with getting this. I said, it's 1:30 in the morning. It's a privilege. We're not to deprive our partner of physical love. Amen. We're to love each other. We're to work together. Husbands are to also be homemakers. How does a husband make a home with his wife? Well, the Word of God says he is to live with his wife in an understanding way. God help us. Oh, did I say that out loud? The King James says it this way, according to knowledge. We are to love our wives mentally and emotionally, not through pride, not through lust, not through fear. A married couple lives together, should not be strangers in the house. Amen. It's a husband's responsibility. Let me, if you want to underline it, it's a husband's responsibility to ensure that they're not living as strangers. Husbands, it's not your wife's duty to always pursue you to have a communication relationship. Man, it's quiet up in here. He has to live with his wife according to knowledge. Can a man understand a woman? Don't answer that. Don't get in trouble. Don't fall for the trap. There's a book that says men are from Mars and women are from Venus, right? Amen. You know, the Bible didn't say men understand women. It said husbands live with your wife in an understanding way. If we would put all of our energy in knowing the very one person that God has put with us, it is a lifelong journey. It is a journey of ups and downs. It is a journey of excitement. It's like a roller coaster. Sometimes you're on the top. Sometimes you're screaming, whoa, it's so good. And then other times you're like, oh, God, here we go again. Hey, look, it's wonderful. The journey is amazing, and the two shall become one. It didn't say they are one. That becoming process is a lifelong journey. Enjoy the ride. Understand you're on the same team. You're working together. This is a together thing. Amen. Amen. So command. The command is know your wife or in an understanding way. It includes knowledge, generic, simplistic. It teaches you how to love your wife in a better way. We have to understand biblically how we are to love our wife. How do we have a biblical marriage, right? So, how do we gain our understanding of how to have a good marriage? Well, we can do it through books. Allison, you got this one, right? Anna had to go through this. In their education class, in elementary education at Lee University, one of the classes they have to take is marriage and family. So you went through this, you're going through this, have them read the book, The Seven Principles of Making a Marriage Work. By the way, if you need help, it is actually a good book. Got some good things. What about making love last forever? Joy that lasts, right? What about Gary Chapman, love is a verb? Or what about love is a decision? What about the five love languages and so on? Look, we have information overload, right? Sometimes we learn how we get along with our spouse based on the relationships that we've seen with our own father and mother. Sometimes that's a good environment. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we learn what not to do from those relationships. But ultimately, we learn and we grow through our experience and observation, and sadly, as even sometimes the media influences how we should live with our spouse. But ultimately, the way we think needs to be sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? We need to understand our mind needs to be renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind has to be renewed. We can't walk in stinking thinking. Amen? To live with your wife according to knowledge requires us to understand God's word and how we are to love and care for our wife. Amen. It involves more than superficial knowledge. It involves more than what is her favorite fruit, what is her favorite place, what is her favorite brand. It involves more than those things, right? It involves you knowing her emotionally. It involves you knowing the depths of her moods and views and strengths and needs and fears and hurts. And somebody said, oh, dear God. It's a blessing. How do you know those things? Y'all seen the movie Groundhog Day? We're past, some of y'all seen that movie Groundhog Day? You know, I wish we could just have that one day over and over and over again so we can start building this base of knowledge so that at least the next day we can start out at a certain level of knowledge, right? Well, the great thing is we get to do that all our life. I was 22 when I got married to this beautiful young lady down here. She was 18. And now we're in our 29th year. We celebrated 28 years of marriage. We're in our 29th year. And I'm going to tell you something. I still am learning. It is great. Scary. Sometimes. It's good. Know your wife's love language. Y'all heard me tell a story in our early times of marriage. I was a gamer. I'd stay up all night playing games. One night I came to bed and the door was locked. And there was a pillow and a blanket sitting outside the door. And a book on top of that blanket called The Five Love Language. It was opened and creased to the very page of her love language. I can't say that I've gotten it perfect since then, but at least I'm working on it. I don't stay up all night playing games anymore, much. I don't play games at night. So how do we do this? How do we gain this knowledge? Well, we spend time. I don't have time. Be intentional. It's amazing how much we have, what we have time for when we want to have time for it, right? We'll make time for anything we want to do. How about making time to spend with your wife? How about taking a little bit of time to say, you know what? Today I'm not going to go do that. I'm going to spend time with you. That just makes things so much exciting. Right? What about listening? What are you saying there? Right? No. What about intentionally listening? I have a book in my office. I've actually bought about 6 copies of it. So if you want one, you can have it. Why Don't We Listen Better? Great book. Why don't we listen better? It really explains in layman's views of our emotions and what triggers those emotions and how we respond when our emotions are triggered and how to steer clear of that. It's a really good book, guys. I'm trying to tell you. Listen carefully. Pay attention. Show concern. Show concern. Get involved. Practice chivalry. Encourage her. Look, all of those will require us to stretch. All of those require us to grow. All of those require us to sacrifice because we can't be selfish and learn our spouse. It requires us to give. As I said a few weeks ago, a marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. It is 100%, 100%. Everybody gives all at all times. It is a working together of completeness. Amen. Maybe we're not a good listener. Maybe we're not very merciful. Suck it up, buttercup. Maybe we're that kind of people. But guess what? That's where we have to learn and grow and be compassionate and caring. Amen. Be aware of your own weakness. Be aware of your own weakness and be willing to work on yourself. Stop making excuses. Well, you know, you married me when I was this way. Stop making excuses. Because Jesus can change you. Amen. Genesis 2:18, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. I'm gonna plow through this because it is 2 minutes till some of y'all's lunchtime. But let me help you understand something. When you work the word husband, like in John 14, it says, "I am the true vine." In a King James version, it says, "And my father's the husbandman." Right? A husband is one who cultivates, who prepares. So when you think of that in the context of marriage, a husband is one who cultivates that marriage. They work and strive to make that marriage the best that it can be. I mean, if think about this. Husbands, your first responsibility as the priest of your house is to cultivate a spiritual environment where your family grows in the knowledge of God. At the end, when Jesus steps out on the clouds to call us back home and we stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He's not going to look at your wife and say, "Why didn't you lead this family to me? Why didn't you display to me or to your family who I am?" It's going to be men who stand in front of the Lord and is responsible for the spiritual atmosphere of your home. That is God's word. It's a heavy responsibility. What are we doing to cultivate that kind of atmosphere within our homes? Amen. Honor. 1 Peter 2:17 begins with honor everyone. It ends with honor the emperor. Now in verse 7 of chapter 3, it tells us to honor your wives. Proverbs 31:28-29 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." How many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all? Man, praise your wife. Your words and your deeds should honor your wife. Why? Because she is God's precious vessel given to you. Honor her physically. Honor her physical differences. It says, instructs husbands in verse 7 to show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Now, before I get arms and limbs tore off here, Peter does not specifically say in what way a woman is weaker, but we know that a woman is not weaker in intellect. Amen. Thank God for brilliant women. We live in a country where women are, in many cases, more educated than men. So there's nothing wrong with wonderfully educated women. We live in a, women are not weaker emotionally. Some people say, "Well, women shouldn't leave because they're too emotional." No, is there something wrong with emotions? Man, I love to see when someone's passionate about something. Some of you men show your emotion on Saturdays when your team is playing. They're not weaker emotionally. Amen. They're not weaker spiritually. I mean, when you think of the context of this scripture, it says they are heirs together of the grace of life in Christ. In other words, they're together with us. Generally speaking, women are weaker physically. All right? I mean, and that's the big debate in our society right now. Can men be on women's sports, or can men who have now wanted to be women be in women's sports? And we realize, we see that anytime men who, no matter how they dress up and how they look and how many surgeries they have, they still have the bone structure and the muscle structure of a man. And therefore, you see them excelling. Just this past week, a group of guys joined a women's bicycle tournament and cyclist and won to prove a point. When you watch women's National League soccer, the women's national team versus the men's national team, you can see a great difference. That's why they do not do co-ed after a certain age, because of the physical differences of men and women. Now, I'm going to tell you something. My wife can outwork me any day. She can. She is an amazing woman. She'll get out and till a garden by hand with a pickaxe, dude, and work all day at it. And I work 5 minutes and I'm wore out. She has an endurance that's amazing. But guess what? When she's doing it with a tiller, She can't crank the tiller. Honey, come out here and crank this tiller. Because it takes more strength than she has to do it. There's times when things come from the grocery store and the lid's on tight. Y'all seen the Tim Tebow one where he's tightening the lid so somebody will come and ask him how to help him get it off? Right. I don't do that, just by the way. She'll say, honey, come open this because I can't get it open. There are physical factors of the man's structure that are different from a woman. Why is it that they can go to excavations and look at the bones of the people in those graves and identify this is a man and this is a woman without seeing their parts, without seeing the flesh, but looking at the very bones can identify that this is a man and this is a woman because we are created differently. There's no confusion in that. You can look at the DNA, and guess what? No matter how many surgeries you've had to change your appearance, and no matter how many hormones you take to want to look and sound different, at the end of the day, there is an X and a Y, and you're either one or the other. That's all right. So we should celebrate, men. Celebrate our wives' differences because she looks good. Right? Celebrate the fact that your wife looks different from you. And women, celebrate the fact that your husband is different from you. I need to move on. I made it through it. Thank you, Jesus. Practice chivalry. Let me say this. It is never appropriate for a man to hurt his wife. There are physical differences. Absolutely. It is never appropriate for a man to lay hand on his wife in an abusing, bullying, threatening manner. Matter of fact, Colossians 3:19 says it this way, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Amen. Amen. Honor her spiritual qualities, understanding that you are heirs, that she is an heir with you for the grace of life. God created both of you in his own image. God created you to be together. God wants you to walk together. Amen. 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 Let me just say this again. Equality of person does not require equality of role. And I know that it is very difficult for living in a society that promotes a militant feminism and a toxic masculinity. But if we would begin to walk in a manner of biblical manhood, then there would be a different mentality of womanhood. Right. Recognizing that we're both saved by grace. We're both sanctified by grace. We're both strengthened by grace. We're both servants of grace. We're both secured by grace. We are to love one another, care for one another, serve one another, be compassionate to one another, walk with one another in our strength and our weaknesses. Amen. Lastly is that you need to pray for your wife. You know, the motto used to be, the family that prays together stays together. You know what the motto now is the sign that you see most bought with homes is live, laugh, and love. Live, laugh, love. Isn't that right? Live, laugh, and love. Let me tell you something. You can live, laugh, and love, but until you get together on your knees before God, you won't find the favor of God. It takes a family praying together It takes a family being held up to pray together. Matter of fact, what it declares is that if you don't live with your wife in understanding, and if you don't show honor to your wife, and you don't grab a hold that you are both great heirs together, then your prayers will be hindered. That word hindered literally means to be cut off. I don't want anything that's going to cut off my prayer between the Lord. I want to make sure that I'm living in such a way that my prayer is being answered by the Lord. That I have an ability to hear clearly what the Lord's saying. Husbands, you have an immense responsibility for your home. It's heavy. I mean, I know that the word says, wife, submit to your own husbands, and that seems heavy, but the weight that the man carries to set an atmosphere of love and compassion as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that's the weight that we carry. Are we willing to give ourselves for the sake of our wife, that she, that would be in such a manner that it would win her love towards us? That's a powerful love. That's a deep love. Let me tell you something. I grew up in a home with someone who was domineering and that would control the environment by the strength of their voice. And when they didn't like the conversation that was going, they would blare up even louder to control the environment. Men, you're not called to be domineering. You're called to be understanding. And if your wife doesn't have a voice in your home, do you really love her? Because it's a mutual relationship where you're growing together, and if there's no input from both sides, then it's a one-sided relationship. Jesus help us, right? Look, the enemy wants to attack the very institution that God created. And the very first institution that God created was the family. And we need to do everything we can to begin guarding, protecting, praying for our families. Amen. I was telling some folks the other day, I said, you know, as we endeavor to do the plans of God, there's an attack that will hit our family. And we need to be careful. We need to recognize that we're not battling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, right? We're fighting against evil spirits that try to attack our families and try to attack us. Somebody says, well, we just fell out of love. Really, did you? Have you recognized the real enemy? Because if you chose to be with that person for the rest of your life, then your choice is a choice of a covenant before God that says, I will love them for the rest of my life. I'll love them through their flaws, through their failures, through the good times, the bad. I mean, when you say your vows, it's usually for better and for worse, and sometimes it's worse. Sometimes sickness befalls our marriage, and it makes it difficult. I've seen a trend that really befuddles me of older couples getting divorced in their senior years. I'm like, wait a minute, you've made it this far. You just got a little longer, right? No, man. There's an attack on family. I don't know how many of you this morning would say, Pastor, there's been struggles in my home recently. there's been difficulties in my marriage recently, and I need God's help in my home. I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but I know of some in this room right now that needs the hand of God to intervene. But let me encourage you, your spouse is not your enemy. Can I say that again? Your spouse is not your enemy. They may not get it right. They might not understand completely. But give them the grace to sit down and talk through whatever it is that you're going through. And surrender to the Lord. Here's the thing. We live in a selfish society. And we make things all about us. I'm just not happy. We don't get married to make you happy. Well, I should be happy. It's a covenant relationship. We'll find happiness when we find the Lord. But if you're not walking with the Lord, you're not going to find happiness. And if you're walking against God's word, then you're not going to be happy. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your spouse. Pray for wisdom of how to honor and love and be compassionate towards your spouse. Pray for them. Pray for God to touch them. And pray for you that God would change your heart, that he could help you build your relationship better and stronger. If you're married in this room, I want you to stand with your spouse. I know some of your spouse might be working in children's church or wherever. If you're married, stand. Amen. My heart goes out to every one of you guys. Because I recognize the fight. And I'm not talking about the fight between you and your spouse, but the fight it takes every single day to make sure you're walking in an environment that brings love, compassion, care, value to your spouse. When it says honor your wife, it literally means to give value to apportion value to. In other words, make sure that you recognize the value they have in your home. Look, I know, dear, you're going to get on me for this, but I can't do anything without this precious jewel right here. Through every trial, every hardship, every valley that we've gone through, every mountain that we've been able to celebrate on, it's been a journey. It's been a journey through robberies in Honduras, through gangs coming in and shooting up things. It's been a journey. But I know this, God put us together. God gave me exactly what I needed. I could try to look for something different, but why would I look for something that is the greatest thing right here beside me? And when we find contentment also in the fact that God gives us the precious gift that we need, we also recognize that this is a jewel that I want to keep and I want to cherish and I want to honor and I want to make sure that I am creating an environment that she can continue to grow and be helpful. If anybody hasn't got to know this amazing woman, seriously, dude, if you haven't had the chance to get to know this amazing woman, you're missing out. And that's the way I feel about her all the time. I am overwhelmed by the goodness of God. I'm overwhelmed by the grace of God. I'm overwhelmed of the gifts and talents, all that she is. Our kids are really just an image of who she is. Amazing. But I pray that every one of our... Look, we're not perfect. Let me say that again. We're not perfect. We don't get it right all the time. But I want you to understand, when you begin treating your wife in such a way that creates an environment. When's the last time you washed dishes? I'm sorry. That might have been incriminating. I'm sorry. When's the last time you washed clothes? Look, what am I trying to say? Recognize the needs in your home and recognize it takes two to make it go right and it takes two to make it go wrong. But if you, no man has ever been shot washing the dishes. If you begin doing your best to meet the needs in your home, you'll find greater love, greater desire, greater intimacy, because when you are doing your all for each other, both sides recognize it. Amen. I want to pray for you couples. Can we all stand? Father, I just pray. I pray for homes in this church, families in this congregation. Lord, we see your hand moving. We see, God, you healing people. We see, God, folks being delivered, folks being renewed. And I pray, Jesus, as we continue to walk in your truth, that you would guard our hearts, that you would guard our homes. Many of us are already facing the strategic war plans of the enemy. Things are hitting us that seem overwhelming. But God, I pray that you are the strong tower that we will run into. And Lord, when we find that you are that we are in the shelter of the Almighty, that you are guarding and protecting us, we can find consolation in knowing that you are with us and that you will work through us and you will build a house. Lord, your word declares that unless the Lord builds the house, your labor is in vain. God, I pray that you will work on the families in this room, that you will begin to do a work in us that cannot be denied, that you will begin to knit together our relationship so tight, God, that nothing can separate us. God, that you will put a love and a desire for each other that is so deep that we desire each other in everything we do, God. That we want to be together everywhere we go. God, that we just can't get enough of each other. Lord, build our homes on the Word of God, on the truth of who you are. And Lord, help us to recognize you are at work in us and that we are on the same team, and that is your team. God, guard our homes, protect our families. Let us be examples to our children that when they get married, they want to be like us. Lord, show us your ways. Help us to walk in your truths. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. Love your families. And I'll make this disclaimer. Don't let your family get into a place that you're struggling and you can't turn around. Before it gets that bad, come see someone like myself that's willing to pour into you and help you walk through that. Amen. Sign up for next week's event. Sign up. The sheet is in the back. I challenge you on your chili. God bless you.